Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. And we are on Wednesday evenings in a study of characters of the Bible and how various parts of their lives can be examples to God's people. And so we're considering different characters of the Bible. Some are very well known. The Abrahams, the Moses, the Joshuas, and so on, the Davids, but others are not so well known. And the character that we're going to look at tonight is one of those individuals who's not widely known in the Scriptures and yet has a major, major part with some happenings in other people's lives and even an example tonight. And tonight we're going to look at Ahithophel, but as an example of a root of bitterness. And so we're going to consider some aspects of his life and make some applications for us that can be helpful, can be a warning as well to God's people and to cause us to grow as a result. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give us understanding tonight and Lord, that we'd have a blessed time around the Word of God. And Lord, that our minds would be sharp and clear and the readiness to make application in our own life and not to dismiss the Word of God or dismiss the applications that it might have to us. And Father, it's one thing to know Bible and one thing to know Bible stories. It's a whole nother thing to be applying those principles to our life and to look at it and examine it in light of how does this affect me, how can it affect me, and how can I absorb this and to grow from it. And I pray that that would be the heart of each one. And Lord, that we not be here just to learn some facts and to learn some Bible stories, but Father, to be fed from your word. And that is a personal choice as much as it is preparation on the part of the preacher. And Lord, I pray that we'd all work together toward that end tonight for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 16. I just want to read one verse, and then we'll dig into the context and some backstory and all of that, and then make some applications from it. Verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 16, and the council of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracles of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. There's a lot that's revealed in this one verse, but we need to go back and get some context as well. But what we need to understand right away is that King David's son, Absalom, had been exiled from Jerusalem. And the reason for that was because he organized the murder of his stepbrother Amnon. You remember how Amnon raped Tamar, who was Absalom's sister. And the Bible says that Absalom hated Amnon. And he said nothing to Amnon for 2 years, neither good nor bad. But the whole time, in his heart, he hated him. And he plotted eventually to kill his brother Amnon. Because of that, well, in fact, let's go read in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Look at verse 28. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." Skip down to verse 36. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voices and wept, and the king also and all of his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. So what we find is that Absalom killed his brother Amnon, and he fled because of it. And the Bible says he went to Geshur, and he was there for 3 years. So he's exiled from Jerusalem for organizing the murder of his stepbrother Amnon. Okay, now he's been gone for 3 years because of this. Now, when we get over to chapter 14, Absalom has been permitted to return to Jerusalem. Look at chapter 14 and verse 23. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, "Let him turn to his house and let him not see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. And so here, Absalom is permitted to return to Jerusalem, but he doesn't have any contact with David at all. And upon his return, what we find is that Absalom begins plotting and scheming to usurp his father's throne. He begins to bring to himself and make a name for himself amongst the people of the nation of Israel. Look over in chapter 15. Let's read several verses in chapter 15 here, beginning in verse 2. "And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, 'Of what city art thou?' And he said, 'Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel.' And Absalom said unto him, 'See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee.' Absalom said, 'Moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice.' And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass, after 40 years, that Absalom said unto the king, 'I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord.' And the king said unto him, 'Go in peace.' So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'As soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron.' And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger to David, saying, 'The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom.' And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, 'Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword.' And the king's servant said unto the king, 'Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint.' And the king went forth, and all his household after him, and the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house." Remember that verse, all right, as we go through. Okay? So what we find here is that Absalom plots and schemes to take David's throne. He wins the hearts of the men of Israel after him. It took a long time to do that. But the Bible tells us in verse 10 of this chapter that he finally makes his move against his father, and he thinks that he's in control here, when in reality he's not, but we'll get to that in a little while. All of that I said to give you the context, because this are the days that Ahithophel is on the scene and has an impact. The story of Ahithophel is set in these days of rebellion and turmoil in Israel. What do we know about him so far? That he's a counselor of David. He's a trusted advisor of David at this point. All right? But let's just take a quick look at the story of Ahithophel. We'll look at it with an overview. And I want to bring out some details about him and what took place and why does the Bible say that he was a counselor to David and to Absalom. And look at that story. First of all, consider his position. What was Ahithophel's position? Well, we read in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. First Chronicles 27, verse 33. The Bible says, "And Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushea, the Archite, was the king's companion." We'll talk about him in a little bit too, but we find that his position was a close position to the king. It was a trusted position as his advisor, as his counselor. We know David, and we know the kind of heart that David had. Of course, not just anybody would have this position. Ahithophel, of course, the Bible said, we read in 2 Samuel 16 as well, that counsel from him was as if one went to the very oracles of God, the Word of God. That's how his counsel was treated. Is that important? That was his position, but also his reputation. Go back over there. I just mentioned this, but I want you to read it in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, "The counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." His reputation here was considered, and his counsel was considered to be on par with the oracle or the word of God. Therefore, you can imagine, because that was the nature of his counsel and how it was regarded, and knowing the situation with David and with Absalom, you can understand and imagine how it would concern David very greatly when all of a sudden he hears that his trusted advisor is now counseling and advising his son who wants to kill him, who wants to oust him out. You could imagine, like, hey, whoa, what's going on here, right? You with me here? You follow that? Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 15. So we've got his position as a trusted advisor. We see his reputation for his counsel. You can understand the concern of David as he's now advising Absalom. But then we find in chapter 15 and verse 12 his defection. His defection from David in chapter 15, verse 12. "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom." Now here's an interesting thought. Why, if everything was fine and dandy at this point between David and Ahithophel, why wasn't Ahithophel in Jerusalem with David? As a trusted advisor? As his right-hand man? Why was he not in Jerusalem? He was in his own city. And we find here that Absalom sent for him from his own city. Here, he's not in Jerusalem with David anymore. He's gone over to Absalom's side. We ask the question, now, if he's a trusted advisor, and he's a friend of David, and here's Absalom who wants to oust David, and there's not any kind of communication between them that's favorable, how in the world is Ahithophel changing sides? What is going on? What happened? How did he go from being a loyal, trusted advisor and friend to all of a sudden being the enemy of David? Let's consider, and we'll talk about that, but let's consider something else. Let's consider his counsel now, all right? So he was a counselor to David, but he's defected to Absalom's side. How is he counseling Absalom now? What advice is he giving to Absalom? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you what we shall do." And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house. And Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Moreover, chapter 17, verse 1, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and I will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well and all the elders of Israel. So what kind of counsel is he giving Absalom now? He's telling him, hey, you go into his concubines, the ones that he left to care for his house, and you have relations with them in the sight of all Israel. Not only that, let me get 12,000 men. I'm going to hunt him down and I'm going to kill him. And the saying pleased Absalom well. How does he go from being a friend and an advisor and a trusted confidant and companion of David to now wanting him dead? Something happened along the way, and it didn't happen overnight. This is the counsel Ahithophel gave to Absalom, advising a military strike aimed directly at David to take his life. But note his defeat in chapter 17, verse 5. "Then said Absalom, call now Hushea, the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushea was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushea said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushea, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people." So he's saying, look, you know David, that he has mighty men with him. He says they're chafed in their mind as a bear robbed of her whelps. They're angry like a bear who's had her cubs stolen. That's how these men are, and they're mighty men of war, and David is a man of war. Verse 9, "Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first that whosoever heareth it will say, there's a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men." He says, don't do that, because you know what? You're going to get beat, you're going to get slaughtered, then people are going to hear about that slaughter, and you're not going to have any followers after that. That's what he's saying. So let's read on. Verse 11, "Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person." Remember that Ahithophel wanted to take the 12,000 men and go find David. But Hushea says, no, you go to battle in your own person. "So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there." And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushea the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom." Then said Hushea unto Zadok, now understand this, and I'll get to this why this is important in a second. Then said Hoshea unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Isn't that interesting? So we find here that the counsel of Ahithophel is defeated. And we also note in these verses that Hoshea, who is giving counsel to Absalom, is actually a loyal friend of David. And Hoshea was sent as a spy into Absalom's camp to get information and to bring it back to David so he would know what's going on. Look in chapter 15. Chapter 15 in verse 32. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hoshea the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hoshea, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So Hoshea is a spy sent into Absalom's camp to get info, and David said, so I can defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. So here are these two men who were friends, who are now enemies, and Ahithophel wants David dead, and he's counseling and plotting with Absalom to defeat and to destroy and to kill David. But what do we find? That the counsel that Ahithophel gave to Absalom was rejected by Absalom in favor of Hoshea's counsel. I want you to note something here. We read these verses already, but the counsel that Hoshea gave to Absalom was actually designed to give David and his men time to regroup. What did he tell him? He said, no, you don't let Ahithophel gather some men and go for a quick strike against David. No, you get a whole bunch of numbers of people from all over Israel, and you gather in hordes the numbers, and we'll come upon David, and we'll get him then. How much time would it take to gather all the men and the fighting men from all over Israel and get the word out and gather them together and then go after David? It would take a whole lot of time to do that, a lot longer than a quick strike that Ahithophel wanted to take out on David. And so this advice was designed to give David and his men some time to regroup because Hoshea was David's friend. Go over to chapter 17. We find here Ahithophel's death. So we've seen his position as David's trusted advisor. His reputation was, his counsel was to be considered on par with the word of God. We saw his defection from David over to Absalom's side. We see the counsel that he gave to Absalom to bring shame upon David and also to kill David. But we see his defeat in that his counsel is refused in favor of Hoshea's counsel. And then we find his death in chapter 17, verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order, and hanged himself, and died. and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Here, Ahithophel commits suicide. What happened? What a story, huh? We gave you the highlights and the overview. Man, that was like a good movie or something. But what a story. What happened? How did he go from being that trusted friend to hating David, to wanting to kill him, and then end up, in the end, committing suicide himself? Where did this betrayal all come from? Well, we said Ahithophel is an example of a root of bitterness. That was the story of Ahithophel, but I want you to consider with me the lessons of Ahithophel. Ahithophel betrayed David and took Absalom's side. But for what reason? Why? Before we get into that, look with me in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Solomon says that a brother that is offended is harder to be won back than taking a strong city. Something offended Ahithophel, and it caused his heart to be turned, and it ended in ruin in his life. He betrayed David. He took Absalom's side. And on the surface, we would say, why did he do that? But there's actually more to it than meets the eye. Keep in mind that Absalom's rebellion against David is actually tied in with God's judgment upon David for his sin with Bathsheba. You with me? You follow me? Remember that the consequence for David's sin was that the sword would not depart from his house and his sons. This is why Amnon was killed. This is why Absalom lost his life. And Absalom's rebellion against David is tied into to David's sin and God's judgment upon him for his sin with Bathsheba. Turn over there to 2 Samuel 12 with me. Let's just refresh our memory. Second Samuel 12, beginning in verse 7. And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Remember, Nathan confronted David with his sin. And he told him this story about, you know, the lamb that was taken from the one who only had one. When the guy had a whole bunch of others he could have chosen from. And David was angry, and he says that verse 5 says David's anger was kindled greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die." You can imagine the shock and the horror when Nathan pointed his finger at David, and he said, "Thou art the man." And David knew instantly, because of the Spirit of God, no doubt, exactly what he was talking about. And so, verse 7 says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, And I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So here we find that Absalom and what's going on with him, his rebellion, is tied to God's judgment upon David. He said, I'm going to raise it up out of your own house. Consider the following here with me. What is Ahithophel's relationship with David's sin? Because there's a connection here. So Ahithophel is the counselor of David, and yet he turns, and yet he wants him dead now. How did that happen? Ahithophel is tied in to this. He has a relationship with David's sin. Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 23. In verse 34. In this chapter, here's a catalog of David's mighty men, and it lists all of these men and their sons and so on. We get down to verse 34. And Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbai, the son of Micaiathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. All right? So there's Eliam, who is the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. But now go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. In verse 3. And this is in 11, in chapter 11, is David's sin with Bathsheba. But note verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Note the names. Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam, who was the son of Ahithophel. What does that make Bathsheba and Ahithophel? Bathsheba was Ahithophel's granddaughter. And we see that David commits this sin, and it's a sin that of course is against the Lord, but it's a sin that sorely affects Ahithophel because it's his granddaughter. We start to see where Ahithophel's bitterness toward David and eventual betrayal of David stems from. This incident right here. That's the relationship that Ahithophel has to David's sin. So here he's the trusted advisor, his counselor, his friend. And David goes and does something that is so offensive to Ahithophel that it changes his heart. Consider Ahithophel's counsel for revenge. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 20. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he hath left to keep the house. Remember how he left 10 concubines to keep the house when he fled from Absalom? So Ahithophel says, Absalom, you go in unto them, which he hath left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Note the connection here with David's sin. What was the connection with David's sin? What's similar about it? David was up on a rooftop when he should have been somewhere else. And he was looking out over the rooftop and he saw a beautiful woman and it lusted in his heart. And he ends up committing sin and adultery. You know the connection here? They spread a tent for Absalom up on the rooftop so he could go in unto his father's concubines. Besides that, this is exactly what the Lord said would happen when he judged David for his sin. He said, the thing that you did in secret, I'm going to do out in the eyes of everybody. I'm going to raise it up from your own house and your wives. I'm going to give to somebody else in the sight of all Israel. Ahithophel gave counsel that was fitting for revenge, but his counsel was generated or motivated because of bitterness in his heart towards David. That bitterness worked fury. Not only was he wasn't just content to counsel against his old friend David and to bring shame, but he wanted to personally kill him. Remember how we read that he wanted to bring 12,000 men and he wanted to wield the sword? All of this was generated because of bitterness in his heart, because of something that David did. Let's make some applications as I bring all of this to a close. Ahithophel is an example to us of the end result of bitterness in the heart. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Ahithophel is an example of the end result of a root of bitterness in the heart. The end result is always tragic. But it happened, and it was tragic for Ahithophel, but it happened because Ahithophel missed the mark on some things. Here was an offense that was done, that grieved him, that changed his heart, and he missed the mark on some things, and it led to all of these other things that ended up in him losing his own life, taking his life. Where did he miss the mark? Well, first of all, he failed of the grace of God. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You know, Ahithophel failed of the grace of God in this offense. I want you to see with me Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. All right? We find here that we have God's forgiveness for our sins according to the riches of His grace. You know, offenses in life are going to come. And people are going to fail. And people are not perfect. And people are going to do stupid things, and people are going to do offensive things, and people are going to offend other people. But our offenses, listen, understand, according to this verse, we have God's forgiveness for our sins according to the riches of His grace. By the grace of God, we have forgiveness for our sins. And according to this verse, that's the only reason we have forgiveness, because of God's grace. You know, our offenses to God are far greater than any earthly offenses that men can do to us. Why? Because God is holy, and God is righteous, and God is so far removed from sin that our sin is such an offense to God that it's far, far greater than any earthly offense that men can do to us. We have forgiveness from God because of the riches of His grace. In this same epistle, go just a couple chapters over to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Where did our forgiveness come from? The riches of God's grace. God's forgiveness. And what is the basis, and what is to be the basis for our forgiveness towards others? To be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. God's forgiveness toward us, enabled by the riches of His grace, is the same exact grace that is available to us to be forgiving of others. According to Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Point is, offenses are going to come. People are going to fail. But we're to forgive one another, even as God hath forgiven us. In a measure of God's grace. Ahithophel failed of the grace of God in this offense. Not only that, he failed to let God be the one to deal with this situation. Look in Romans chapter 12. He failed to let God be the one to deal with this offense and deal with this situation. He took it into his own hands and wanted to bring vengeance and revenge against David. And he, in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." What should have Ahithophel's response to this been? Should be to let God deal with the situation. Had not God already rightly judged in David's case? Yes. God already told him what the consequence would be, and God is the righteous judge of all. If Ahithophel would have taken hold of the grace of God and let God be the one to deal with this situation, things would not have turned out the way that they did. The bitterness that Ahithophel had toward David because of what he did ended up controlling his life. And somebody might say, well, wasn't he justified? I mean, that was his granddaughter, for Pete's sake. Wasn't he just? I would do that too. Well, now, wait a second. Hang on. A right-thinking man who is thinking spiritually would never counsel someone toward sin. And the counsel that he gave to Absalom to go and do what he did was blatant sin against God. Plus, he had deluded himself into thinking that somehow Absalom would prevail against David when God had already determined what the consequence for David would be. And remember, God said, "You're not going to lose your life." But his bitterness controlled his life, and it controlled his thinking. And his bitterness ultimately destroyed him. When his counsel was not taken, and he saw that there wasn't much hope for him, he went and put his life in order, the Bible says, and he hung himself. Such is always the case when we don't handle offenses with God's grace. It will ultimately destroy. A root of bitterness springs up and eventually ruins and destroys a life. Here's the application. Even the smallest revenge will eventually poison your soul. You know, we might not conspire to commit murder because of an offense, but how about the cold shoulder? Well, they did this and they said that, and I don't like that person anymore. And never really liked them to begin with. And you know what's wrong with them? And we're going to list off all the problems and that we think are with someone else. And we have a snooty attitude, or we give them the cold shoulder. I'm not talking to that person. Maybe even developing into hatred in the heart for another person. Well, you know what? Hatred in the heart towards others is the same thing as murder in God's eyes. Bitter roots will always produce bitter fruit. Listen, God has given us a proper way to deal with offenses, and it's through His grace. God's answer to a problem like this is to surrender it to God. Surrender it to Him and to let it go. And if we don't learn how to handle offenses of life and to take advantage of God's grace, we're eventually only going to bring ruin in our own life. Just like Ahithophel. Things could have turned out differently. And someone might say, oh, he was justified, but he wasn't justified in what he did and how he conspired, because God had already dealt with it. The answer is to surrender it and yield it to the Lord. And look diligently, lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I don't know what the Lord could use out of this tonight. I don't know all the details of what's going on in relationships between people of Black Road Baptist Church. But I do know this. If we're not careful, offenses that maybe are small and maybe are petty can become bitterness in the heart, and it can change the way that we think and change our heart. And we might even feel justified because what they said and what they did is actually offensive. Well, welcome to the human race. Guaranteed, you are equally offensive. How do we handle it? With the grace of God. Because bitterness will always bring about bitter fruit. Ahithophel is an example of a root of bitterness springing up, troubling. Let's not let that or allow that in our own lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, remind us of these Bible principles and grow us from them. These kinds of things are real life, and these are practical reminders, and we are so prone to take offense at this and take offense at that, or to let something small become something big and blown out of proportion when we have a way of, you've given us a way of handling those things that come about in life, and it's with the grace of God. Help us to be gracious people, to let God be the one to deal with those offenses, to handle it biblically, and so that there would be peace, that there would be unity, that there would be freedom for the Spirit of God to knit our hearts together. And ultimately, we'll bring glory to God. If we allow the other to happen, and there's offenses and there's disunity, the devil's got his foot in the door, and he's robbing God of glory and robbing us of our ability to bring glory to God through our life. Help us to be diligent. Father, may we apply where it's necessary. You accomplish your purpose with it. In Jesus' name, amen.